La vie, c'est la vie, il faut se la vivre au hasard des jours et au fil des nuits. Faut se l'emmener jusqu'à l'autre rive, faut se l'espérer, son coin de paradis.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're from. This is Kim for Kiss and Tell. And today's a great day as I'm with Evan again to discuss topics inspired by Guy Code Episode 9 from MTV. Today, we have some exciting topics for you, and I'm really excited to have this show again because it's so much fun to just share with you my experience, my friend's experience, and everybody I encounter's experience just for your benefit to improve your dating life. And on this episode, Geico brought up a very controversial topic, you know, and the first topic that every guy gets afraid of, I don't know if every guy gets afraid of, is actually girls moving in with you. You know, it's very common nowadays, actually, to have, you know, a boyfriend and girlfriend living in together. And especially in L.A., I have a friend of mine who used to make fun of it all the time. Is because in L.A., it's so expensive, you know, every girl lives with his boyfriend if they can't afford it. And my friend was actually single for a long time, and he hated that. And he's like, you know, how typical, you know, a girl can take care of herself, so she has to move in with a boyfriend, you know. But the truth is, you know, it's more common than it's not. And is it a good thing? Is it a good thing in your dating life? Or when should you be moving in? I mean, on MTV Geico, the guy was trying to be all macho. Like, oh my God, you know what? This goes in the box. All these dresses goes in the box. The potpourri goes in the box. But as soon as he finishes, you know, trying to look macho, you know, he's make sure like, oh man, hurry up. We need to put this back on because she's going to get home in 10 minutes and I don't want her to know that it was away, it was gone.
And that was a complete waste of time.
Exactly, right? So, Evan, I know you have never moved in with a girl before. Actually, you've never had a girl move in with you. But just based on your personal dating experience, you know, is moving in a good thing? And if so, when is it a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. If you really like that person and you see a future with them and you think that this is really the girl who could be the one. Or if this is your second time, you're saying go around the second one. In terms of timing, I don't know. I mean, it's I think it depends on the circumstances. There's the expectations, but I don't think that we ought to be acting according to expectations. We ought to be acting according to what feels right. And so I think it's circumstantial.
You know, it's a good way to look at it because I've had so many different reports. You know, I remember one of my former boss, you know, David Wigand, a lot of you guys have heard of him. He's big on having the girl move in at some point when the relationship gets serious because the truth is you find out a lot about your partner while she lives with you. And vice versa, if you're a woman, you will find out a lot about your man once he moves in with you. You know, like if you've only been to his place and, you know, he's pretty clean most of the times, well, maybe when you move in with you, then you find out he's not that clean anymore, you know? Like, how cleanliness can be a big no-no for some people.
Yeah, no, that's important to me, too. It's funny, I had a girlfriend in college who was very messy. It's funny, you know, we have this image of girls. Us guys, I think, have this image of girls as being all put together, and you know, it's hard to imagine that somebody so, you know, well put together outside of the house could be so messy inside the house. But truth be told, a lot of girls are actually pretty messy.
Hey, haven't you watched Melanie Iglesias on the show, man? They said girls are always messy. You know why? Because they're always on the go. They have to put their makeup here, their hairdryer there. They're always like ready to go out. But I guess that might be more appropriate with girls who consider themselves hot or well made up, right? But you know, the moving in is actually, I think, is a very personal question. I think it's a good thing to move in with each other, but as you said, it has to feel right. In all my dating life, I always tell the girls anything we do has to feel good and right, not just good. And not just right, but good and right, you know. Does it feel good to have her around? You know, does it feel right to have her around? You know, if you're annoyed, if you're the kind of guy who actually secretly hates women, because I've met a lot of guys like that too. They say they love women, but they actually think that women are annoying. I mean, you and I know one guy in particular, I won't name him, but he likes to date a lot. And he likes to hook up with a lot of women, but all his dates only last about a month to 3 months. And you and I haven't have had this discussion. It's like, he claims he loves women, he claims that he loves going out with them, but if you really talk to him, he's always like, man, she's so annoying. And then after a couple of weeks of going out with a girl, man, that girl's crazy. And all the girls that he encounters are always crazy.
Now we're gossiping.
Right? So the thing is, does it feel good and right for you to have the girl move in with you? Because I, for myself, really love women. I mean, Evan has seen me out with a few of my girlfriends. And it's true that a lot of my girlfriends actually end up spending a lot of time with me. But the difference is I love spending a lot of time with them as well. So a lot of the girls that I've had dated actually spend, I wouldn't say every day, but, you know, easily four to six days at my place or something like that. I mean, they don't usually sleep over all the time, but they spend a lot of time with me. And because of that, I personally wouldn't have minded if she moved in.
Yeah, but that's not moving in, though. That's the difference.
But yeah, that's the difference. But I was open to it.
Right.
You know, where some people are really not open to it. And again, it comes down to personal preference. The one thing I would say, though, if you move in, I think the good thing to keep in mind is how long do you want to stay that way? Because I did have a conversation with one of my ex-girlfriends at the time when she was like, you know what, I don't want to move in with you, not because I don't like you, but how does that differentiate moving in from actually getting married? Because it's true. I mean, in the old days, people don't move in with each other until they get married. And maybe there's a little bit of a sound advice in that. You know, maybe there is something to be said, like, you know what, it's good to move in after you marry because you have that, you know, transitional period where you now feel like, hey, we're finally, quote unquote, together. You know, so, you know, I've never shared this philosophy with anybody, but ever since that discussion with my now ex-girlfriend, I have a new take on that. And I think it is like, you know what, it's okay to move in prior to marriage, because as I said, it's good to know what the other person is like on a daily life, right? But keep it to maybe 6 months, maybe a year at most if you are struggling financially. But I think moving in should be a setup to you getting engaged or you actually getting married. And if somebody's moving in into somebody else, I know for a fact that psychologically, when you move in into somebody, whether you're moving in into your girlfriend's, your girlfriend is moving into your place, it never feels quite like our home. It always still feels like my home or your home, and you're just moving in. And my take again, this is just, I don't have that experience yet, but I would say if you have the option after you get married, pick a new place to move in together. It's okay to move in, you know, into each other prior to marriage, but once you're married, maybe it's a good idea to pick a new place, a new house, so that it can be our place, our sanctuary.
Well, I mean, what if you pick that new place prior to getting married? I mean, now you say, okay, we're going to move in together, and for just whatever reason, you just both decide that neither of your apartments at the present time is right for you guys, and so you go out and try to find a new place. I mean, of course, it raises, you know, if you're going to buy a place together and you're not married, that raises a bunch of, you know, complicated financial issues to the relationship. But if you're, say, renting a place, I mean, that some of that can be avoided, I think, by just choosing a new place, even if you're not getting married.
I think it's fair. I think it's more, I mean, this is not a hard rule by any means. I mean, the way I've looked at it in so many ways, it's more like psychologically. Does it build up the relationship? Does it allow you to get closer to your woman? Does it allow you to get closer to your man? And does it feel like you're doing something together and building it together? I think that's a real key point here. It's like, whichever way you're going for, whether it's moving into her place or him moving into her place, you know, you will have to make adjustments, right? And that's what the idea of moving in is like. Even if it's my place, now you have to make space for her stuff, but it's not my place anymore. It's our place. So how do we want to decorate it? Now, beyond the moving in, I want to take it a little bit away from moving in because this is a very personal choice. It involves a lot of financial issues. It involves a lot of convenience issues. It involves a lot of, you know, I actually like this person kind of issues. But what I want to talk about is actually how do you set up your pad? Because on the guy code, I mean, yeah, the guy was making fun of it, how he's going to remove all his girlfriend's stuff because it's my pad and he has to make a stand. But the truth is, a lot of guys nowadays, I feel, are still not modern in their take on what their pad looks like. I mean, I know Evan's pad. I've been to his place. It's very well decorated. It's very girl-friendly. And even he asked me that when the first time he moved in, like, hey, what do you think I should do with my pad? And the truth is, guys, you guys need to stop thinking like fraternity guys or like college boys. You know, if you have now a real job, your pad needs to be guest-friendly. Whether it's male guest-friendly or female guest-friendly, it should be, like, friendly for everybody. And I think it's important for you to decorate it in a way that makes a girl want to stay over. I know a lot of men will be like, I don't want that because it's, you know, my man cave, or, like, I don't want her to stay over that long. But actually, if you want to be a player, for lack of better words, the better you decorate it, your pad to be woman-friendly, the more likely you have to have girl coming in and out of your house. Now, Evan, what are some of the things you know guys should be doing to their pads?
You got to, first of all, you got to graduate from some of the makeshift furniture that you had in your frat house or in your college pad. And go out and do some shopping and pick a style, pick a design, and get a few pieces that fit that style of yours. That not everything has to be the same style, and there's a style called transitional that transcends various styles. But you have to have some sort of style to your furniture. What else? Make sure it's clean. You know, this is again, you know, go back to the cleanliness issue. No girl wants to come to your place and there's garbage all over the place. There's stuff that's not put in the right place. Have a place for something and put it back when you use it to that place.
Well, I'll have to argue on that point with you because I know that some guys do have a lot of guests over, but because it's so warm and homey, it's not exactly the epitome of cleanliness, but it's always there's always food around, there's always drinks around, so a lot of people come over, or there's a nice TV around, so a lot of people come over, and then things happen from there. So cleanliness, I mean, if you're clean, I think that's great. But I think
I'm not talking about like spick and span. I'm talking about like, you know, don't have books all over the place, you know, don't have CDs all over the place, don't have, you know, DVDs all over the place, you know, on the floor, you know, don't have, you know, make sure that there's at least, you know, some clean surfaces and that the floor is not, you know, it's not like that Shel Silverstein poem, you know, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. You know, there's, you know, make sure that there's, you know, that people can walk through the halls.
As I said, I think the most important part of this area is really can people be comfortable at your place? I think I've actually had a client like this. I'll tell you a funny story. This client of mine has been working with me for a few months on how to talk to girls. And he was a little shy. He didn't know how to approach women. He didn't dress very well. So I had to do a little bit of makeover with him first of all, just so that he could be presentable. And I had to help him like get out of his head so he can actually approach women. But this kind of mine was actually living in a different state. So for a while, I'm like, wait a second, you do now go out, you do actually get phone numbers, but why are you not pushing it forward? Why are you not actually going on dates? And because I used to do Skype video with him, and there is something very interesting, I'm like, wait a second, can you show me your room through the video Skype? And there was no furniture. This is a guy who makes a decent living, you know, in a financial institution. He lives in a good part of town that's very close to restaurants, very close to shopping areas that are like more upscale. And his apartment is considered one of the luxury apartments in the area, yet he had no furniture. And you know what? There's something to be said about, you know, you actually knowing that being prepared for guests. And this is why I like to call it make your apartment or your house guest friendly, is because if you want to have women in your life, you want to make it guest friendly. You want the bathroom to be clean so that people can feel, you know, that they can stay over, right? You want to have some form of entertainment for them, whether it's a TV, whether it's a video game, whether it's music. I mean, at Evan's pad, he has tons of music. So, you know, if I want, you know, cool, chill vibe, loungy vibe, where do I go? I go to Evan's place. I have another friend who has a lot of video games, and he used his Xbox and what is that? A Rock Band game to invite girls over. That his standard, you know, second or date or something. Like, hey man, I do a lot of Rock Band. You know, you guys want to come over and play? Again, that's a very simple reason to have guests over, to get more intimate, to get more personal, and it's a perfect segue to, hey, you want to check out my bedroom? Obviously, you are not gonna say it that way, but it says a lot about you when your apartment is guest friendly. Now, the other thing I would suggest is lighting. Lighting is very, very important in an apartment.
Yeah, yeah, and let me just mention, yeah. Well, with respect to lighting, you want to have as much ambient light as possible and not have to rely on the overhead and the track lighting that comes in your apartment, because there's nothing like a lamp here and a candle there that can set the mood rather than just lights, bright lights just shining down on you. Even if the top lights have dimmers, it's still much better for the mood, especially when you have a woman over, to have ambient lighting, lamps rather than track lighting, to create the atmosphere that you want for a romantic encounter.
I would also say get some candles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple. But too many guys don't have candles at their house, and I wouldn't say it's a guy code break or make kind of rule. But I'll be honest: if you have a few candles in some key location in your house, a few in your bedroom, a few in the bathroom, it just adds a little bit more of that intimate vibe, you know. Because even if at the beginning, like especially at parties, I know at the beginning of a party, all the lights are on. But, you know, I mean, today's topic is not how to make a successful party, but I'll give you one of the tips that I do for parties. At the beginning of the night, all the lights are on, it's bright because I want everybody to be wide awake and excitable. But as the night progresses, I start dimming more and more and more lights. And I start relying more and more and more on candles or small lights, because that's when you want people to slow down. That's when you want people to get cozy with one another. That's when you want people to start, you know, lying next to each other, giving each other massages, making out, or whatever it is that you are trying to do. So the importance of lighting is right there. It's like just like a date, you know, like you start the day with, you know, it's sunny outside, but as you go in the evening, it gets more and more intimate. You can recreate that feeling inside of your home.
The other thing I was going to mention is on your coffee table, you might want to have some unexpected surprises. Maybe, you know, like, for example, in my place, I have, speaking of Shel Silverstein, I have some poetry, some children's poetry books kind of hidden underneath my coffee table, under the surface. There's an area to put stuff. I actually have some coloring books, you know, if you want to be kids again, you know, and do a draw-off. You can, the coloring books in crayons are something that's fun. You know, an interesting, fun coffee table book, too. I picked up this book, The Disciples, at Barnes & Noble the other day, a coffee table book that has just these funny photographs of people photographed trying to mimic the clothing of their favorite rock bands from the 80s and 90s. And it's just looking through it. It's hilarious. So, you know, something like that, something that's unexpected, something that shows a little bit about your personality. You could tuck away, and if somebody, you know, it's not uncommon for a girl to kind of snoop around when you go to the bathroom, and she might find something that she really finds surprising about you because you left it there for her to find.
Well, that's a perfect way of putting it. You know, you want to leave things for people to discover about you. That goes right back to, like, have things for people to do, but also things for people to talk about. You know, I mean, there's way too many things we can go over. It can be a book. It can be some odd and ends, you know, or some very personal hobbies of yours. You know, like my friend Adam, he has a huge collection of CDs. So if you go to one specific room, you know, it's all CDs. So again, it's not only shows the kind of guy he is, but it also shows, it also gives the woman a conversational topic to go to. So on that, I think that's plenty of tips for you guys on how to set up your pad. Again, if you have to summarize in one or two or three tips, have something for people to do. Have something for people to eat as well. Eat and drink is very important. You know, if you're doing a late night date, having a little dessert is always good because you have an excuse like, hey, after the bar late at night, hey, you want to stop by? I have some mochi or something like that, you know? So again, having a quick little something for a reason, basically, to invite people over. And then three, keep your apartment decent enough where it's comfortable for people to stay. Making it comfortable revolves around lighting. It revolves around also furniture and accessories. I know some places of my friends who have a lot of pillows, because pillows makes it, again, comfortable for people to stay there. So again, think a bit about it. Keep the end in mind, basically. How do you want people to stay? What kind of emotion do you want people to have? Do you want them to actually feel cozy and never want to leave your house? Or do you want your house to be just like, okay, this is just in and out? Okay. Now on that, let's move on to another topic. Geico talked about brothers. I personally don't have a brother. Okay, so I can't tell you how having a brother would feel like, but Evan does.
Yeah.
And honestly, for the show, I don't know if having a brother is really relevant for anything, except that the brothers that you want to have in your life are the kind of brothers that help you learn things. And I think that's one of the things that Geico mentioned briefly. I mean, Geico focused a lot more on like teasing your brother and talking trash to your brother. But the thing is, what kind of guy circle do you have? You know, if you're talking about improving your dating skills, you know, look at the people in your life. Look at the guys that surround you. Do they have girlfriends? Or are they all single? Are they all married? Okay. If you have a social circle that's all married, one of the good things about that is you can ask, how did they get their girlfriends? That's one way of improving your dating skills. But if your social circle is a bunch of video game players that don't have girlfriends, well, that's going to dictate the kind of activities you're going to do. You know, you're going to end up doing a lot more video games than going out and meeting women. So, in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill talked about a mastermind group, but you can't actually expand that that principle to any part of your life, you know? And there's also that saying that, you know, you are the average of the five people that you hang out the most with. So ask yourself, who are your real brothers right now? Whether it's a guy friend, whether it's a woman, you know, look at the people that surrounds you, right? Who are your real brothers? Are you learning something from them? Are you, you know, is he inspiring you in the business world? Is he inspiring you in the social lifestyle world? What is it? So, Evan, let me ask you this. Like, how do you develop brothers in your life?
Well, I'm fortunate to have a brother of my own, although I'm the older brother. He's the younger brother. Got to get that straight. Although sometimes he acts like the older brother and I act like the younger brother, and we teach each other different things. But you're absolutely right. It's important to have guys in your life that are focused on the same things that you're focused on, because if they're not, then you're not going to go where you want to go. You're not going to get where you want to get. So I sought them out. I mean, I sought people out. I joined groups that were in line with what it was that I wanted to accomplish for myself. I purposely surrounded myself with people that we had similar interests and had things in common, and maybe we didn't agree about everything, but nonetheless, we knew, you know, that each other were coming from the right place, and you know, nonetheless, we had enough in common, and we respected each other, and so, you know, you have to take affirmative steps to find the people in your life that can help you get where you want to get, and you can help them get where they want to get, and you prop each other up. You know, there's a lot of talk in the show about tearing each other down and trash talk and all that. And trash talk can be fun for a little bit, but at the end of the day, you know, that's not going to help you achieve the goals that you want to have for yourself. And so you need to graduate from that kind of relationships that you have with people and, you know, find guys who are interested, who are supportive of you and who are interested in personal growth of themselves and you.
You know, it's kind of interesting because it reminds me of something I had to learn actually while I was building my social circle, and you know, part of having brothers is also learning to have a bunch of leaders in your life. You can be a leader. I mean, I'm a leader in the kind of social arena, but I have some of my guy friends are leaders in other things. So we help each other in our respective expertise, right? Every area of expertise. But the one thing I had a hard decision to do a few times as well. And I challenge you to do this very thing right now, this week, is look in your social circle and who is it that you should cut out of your life. It is a very, very hard decision because a lot of time you've been hanging out with somebody that you love because, again, you've had a long history with each other. But you've outgrown them, you know. And I'll give you a personal example that I have. I had this very close friend of mine, Jack. And Evan has met Jack before. And I love him dearly. He's the most fun guy I could go out. He has a great energy. I don't know what to say. He's very fun to be around. He knows how to talk to women. He knows how to bartend as well, so when you have girls over, it's easy for him to mix up a quick drink. But there was something that bugged me with him, and that he started going into the path of not being very productive financially. He started going into the path of loving literature. And again, it's not that something that I don't respect. I think it's great that he's reading a lot on, classic literature and philosophy and all these things that really enriches your soul. But looking at my life, that wasn't the path I wanted my life to go towards, right? I wanted to build, you know, my business. I wanted to have more other successful people in my life because I wanted to go somewhere with my life. And I'm not saying that he's not going somewhere with his life. It's just that the current path that he was on was taking away from the things I needed to do in my life. Because the other thing he wanted to do a lot is, let's go out and talk to women a lot. Let's go out and do these things at night and go drinking a lot. And I'm like, right now I'm in the phase of my life where I want to build something. I don't want to go out so much all the time. I don't want to spend so much money all the time. I'm trying to save money and do big things. And as much as I love doing all these things, I couldn't afford to keep hanging out with him. And it came to the point where I kind of had to distance myself from him and actually look for a different kind of guy to hang out with. So look at, you know, it's a challenge for a lot of you guys, but this is my challenge to you. What, you know, name five people in your life that, you know what, maybe you need to distance yourself from, like, in the next week or month.
Yeah, I had a childhood friend who we had grown up together. We played together as kids all the time. We went to neighboring schools. We shared the bus. We went to the same high school. He was a grade older than me. But by the end of high school, he went off to college, and I was still in high school. And we ended up going to different colleges. But he kind of turned to a very different direction. He got involved with a lot of drugs. He knocked up a girl, for lack of a better term, he went off the deep end, and it was very sad to see. And, you know, it's like, there was only so much that I could do in that situation. Certainly I was there and, you know, tried to be as supportive as possible, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can't change people. And so, you know, if somebody's going into a very destructive path that, you can't save them. You can only be there for support, and if your support doesn't get them in the right, you know, on the right path, then you know, that's something that unfortunately you very well may have to distance yourself from if you don't want to go down and follow them as well.
Yeah, yeah, sad but true. So as I said, guys, as a recap for this section of the podcast, remember, like, anything you want to achieve, whether it's your dating skills or anything like, you have to surround yourself with the right people. You have, you know, like, you can learn from a book, you know, about the latest tips and tricks on how to date, how to pick up a woman. You can learn from watching shows. But the truth is, for you to actually be successful, you also need a constructive support group. And that constructive support group can only be found if you actually surround yourself with the right people. And before I end, I know the MTV Geico talks also about gossip. Yes, guys do gossip. You know, it's true. You know, like, a lot of guys try to act macho. And I don't know what it is about this culture where, like, men are not very talkative. But at least in my social circle, men are very, very talkative. Not to gossip alone, but we ask each other a lot about each other's life because we learn from each other. If you remember in the old days, the gentlemen's clubs days, what do you guys think men do? They sit around, smoke their cigars, but they also do business. They inspire each other. They learn from each other. They share their problems. And I think in today's society, when we have a lot of ways of connecting, even though we don't really use them, like Facebook and texting, technically we're all quote-unquote connected, but not truly connecting. So, yes, guys do gossip, but it's not really gossip, it's talking. And the truth is, on the guy code, they talked a lot about men, you know, having to prove themselves to be men. That's why we trash talk to each other. But again, as Evan mentioned earlier, you need to start graduating from that. You know, like, how are you talking to your friends? How are you talking to yourself? And there is one thing that I used to tell my client all the time, also based on how you talk to yourself. Actually, how you talk to yourself, how to talk to your friends. Like, if you talk to yourself the way you trash talk your friends, will you guys be friends for very, very long? So again, that goes back to holding a great social circle. But man, being a man doesn't mean you need to trash talk. Being a man doesn't mean you gossip endlessly either. Being a man means you're confident in sharing the things that are important to you. You're confident in learning and asking for help when you need to. So on that, for this week, there's a few challenges for you. Look at your pad. What can you do to make your pad more inviting to have guests over? 2, what kind of people should you really cut out of your life? And 3, what can you do this week to build a better relationship with your peers? I know this sounds like not dating related at all. You all want to know how to flirt. But I think all the last few podcasts has had a lot of tips on that. But flirting and dating is really a lifestyle. Because when you find the right woman, she will want to know how you live. She will want to be involved in that life. And if you don't have that life ready to have a woman in, then dating is just dating. You'll never find the woman that you actually want for the rest of your life. On that, have a great week, and I'll see you soon. Jamais passé, il n'a jamais rôdé, il n'est jamais venu dans mon quartier. Plélo, palo, boudi, boudi.